is up, time's at hand. There's a stir across the land, and so begins another day on life's highway. On city streets, down country roads, like a stream the people flow. There's bread to win and toast to pay on life's highway.
And a good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning, June 27th, 2024. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, everybody. This is the Chad Holmes Show. My name is Bob Look, sitting in for Chad, who's on vacation this week. Glad to have you tuned in here to Bull Falls Radio as we kind of keep things rolling here on this Thursday. Now, the guy that we just can't get rid of more than anything else is the guy who started the day off on Bull Falls Radio with, of course, the Up North News. And then we're talking about Pat Kreitlow, who joins us for our little segment here this morning. Good morning, Pat.
Boy, the guy you can't get rid of. Boy, there's a welcoming Matt into the studio. Good morning, Mr. Look. It's nice to hear your voice again. It's been a while.
Well, you know, I wanted to get right to you because you've already done your morning gig and that, and I just wanted to talk because there's so many things to talk about today.
Oh, amen. I mean, my goodness, for each other. So you go first.
Well, I've zigged when other people have zagged, okay?
Okay.
I kind of poo-pooed, and I just really haven't talked too much about the debate coming up later on today, later tonight, and that. And it wasn't that I wasn't interested. I just found it to be redundant. Mm-hmm. Everyone's guessing, well, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, this is going to, oh, well, then this is going to happen. I'm kind of the wait-and-see type of a person. Let's see what happens. You know, and there was, in my mind, a doubt throughout the week that this was never even going to get to be on. And I still have a funny feeling there's going to be a walk-off still even tonight.
It's entirely possible. I mean, and that's the thing, is it's become such a show now because you've got somebody there who is all about the show. He's a showman. It's all about show business. It's whatever makes waves, which oftentimes is in a negative way insulting people, whatnot, but sometimes it's through theatrics and things like that. So it all could happen because we are not living in a normal time at the moment. And I'm really hoping we can go back to something normal, in the not too distant future. But again, that's only going to happen if people want it and if they're willing to act on it. But yeah, this is not going to be, it's not going to be a typical debate, and it's not something that everybody's necessarily going to be flocking to. So as I told people on the show this morning, I'll watch it so that you don't have to, and I'll stay up well past my bedtime in order to give a roundup tomorrow morning.
Well, you know, what I find somewhat amusing and silly at times is the anticipation of issues, items, you know, like things to really talk about, and I just don't see that occurring, and it maybe I'm just a little I've seen this act before, okay?
Yes.
And you get to the point, it's like, when are you going to realize, folks, that reality does not have a purpose in this particular instance? But, you know, at least they made, you know, I think smart decisions, making sure there's not a crowd there, no audience.
Right.
It's a straight up, you know, one-on-one talking with the moderators, asking questions, follow-ups, and what have you. That's the way debates should be done in the first place, not a pep rally, as I like to call it.
Yeah, it's something that has bothered me since debates resumed, in 1976. And I don't want the crowd in there. These are not rallies. This is not supposed to be show business. This is where it's supposed to be just straight Q&A.
Yep.
How would you handle this? What is your position on that? And that doesn't mean that there won't be any, zingers or, you know, gotcha moments or anything like that. But right now we're purposefully playing up to that moment, rather than answering the question. And honestly, ask somebody where Donald Trump stands on pretty much any issue.
Yep. Definitely.
And good luck getting an answer. It's always, I'm against that, whatever that guy is doing.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what we would call a platform.
It's like Groucho Marx, whatever it is, I'm against it.
Yes, exactly. And look, if we could ship him off to Fredonia, you know, we would. To just continue the whole Marx Brothers analogy here. Yeah. But, you know, this is what we got. This is who we're going to hear from. And I feel like if I'm going to go glass half full on this, it is going to be a reminder to people, oh yeah, it was this guy. Oh yeah, things weren't really better off 4 years ago. In fact, you know, and not just pandemic, but even pre-pandemic. There are some prices that are higher. There are some wages that are higher. There's some employment that is higher, like record high levels of employment. And all of those indicators that President Biden is going to, you know, talk about in and around the theatrical and the insults and all these other show business moments. But one person's going to talk about his record, and one person's, you know, going to hurl invectives, and we'll see what voters make of it.
Yeah. You know, I always find amusing when they say, well, they're going to cut his mic after he has his say, and then the other person can respond. Well, even with a microphone right in front of his cut off,
you can still hear what he's going to be yelling. Yes. Yeah, without a doubt. That's why I said what I always say is, like, what you really need to do is put them in soundproof booths.
Yeah, put them in
so separate. That when their microphone is cut off, the microphone is truly cut off. They can't just, you know, be heard, because he's still going to try to talk over the moderators.
Yeah.
And to say, no, turn my mic back on. I'm not done answering the question yet. So we're still going to get these moments that, again, for some people, they'll think that's great. He's a fighter. And hopefully enough other people will recognize that and go, no, I'd rather have the guy who is actually gotten things done and cares about me and not just himself.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Pat Kreitlow with us here in this first segment of the Chad Holmes Show. Chad's, you know, off making
milk. How much are you talking about what Chad's been up to these past couple of days Series of Poker tournament?
I haven't gone into like a scoreboard type of thing. I kind of figured there's so many peaks and valleys in this deal.
Yes.
I didn't want to like give any false hope to people, but
it's in another language. I mean,
he
has many, many posts on social media
yep.
about how things are going. If you didn't, well, no, you didn't, because it happened after the show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read his most recent Facebook post, some of it. Uh-huh. It goes like this. Quite a ride and quite an ending. Had 506,000, these are chips, not dollars,
right.
A couple of minutes before the break. Blinds at 10,000 and 20,000. Under the gun, raised to 55,000. I had pocket tens. Thought hard about raising, but just called. I had to decide whether the all-in player had been in all earlier with a suited 9-jack and one. Blinds were going up to 15 to 30,000. I thought I would take a chance with a 1.1 million chip pot. So I called, and he had jacks. The board didn't help, and out, great run. So I know he's not there, and I know he was going to go big but then didn't. But the rest of everything I just read to you, I have no idea what I just read to you. I really don't. It's an entirely different language.
But
I love hearing him talk about it, because with anybody talking about their passion project, it's great to hear people say, this is what I love to do.
Yeah. I give him all the credit in the world, as I pointed out at the start of the week when I, you know, did the first show, and I went, you know, most people when they take vacations, they like to lower their blood pressure and get the heart rate down, you know, and relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. I can't really find much relaxation when you've got thousands of chips, you know, and you're in competition that's with, you know, thousand other players to try to come out on top. It's hard mentally, and it's got to be pretty tough.
It's got to be, and yet people have the things that they like. I know yours for the longest time has been hockey, so I definitely wanted to find out what you thought of Edmonton coming so close to giving Canada, a Canadian team, the first Stanley Cup in 31 years, but no, it'll be at least 32 years now, and whether you thought it was a good Stanley Cup run.
It was a great series, and both teams played to their strengths, which is what...
Yeah, the other being Florida, by the way, for folks that didn't watch
it. Yeah, the Florida Panthers. And one thing, you know, from being kind of a hockey junkie as I've been, Paul Maurice, the head coach for the Panthers, he is a lifer as far as NHL coaches go. He has been, you know, coaches, you know, many other teams, fired by many other teams, and he's just been at it for all these years. He just kept his nose to the grindstone.
I saw the statistic that he was the active coach with the most games played without a Stanley Cup title. So
correct.
He finally broke that streak. So good for him.
So good for him.
But I still have a tough time with a Florida team winning the ice hockey championship.
Well, you know, I had a good friend, you know, text me as it happened, okay? And he texts me and he says, you know, I really just don't think it's fair that, you know, there's a team south of the Mason-Dixon line. And I says, well, there's one thing you got to remember. There's teams, and they've grown junior programs in those locations. So, you know, they've built a base. So, more power to them. Plus, ice making is a little bit more advanced
bit more refined,
than it was. Yeah, a little better than it used to be in the old days.
Hey, but, oh, I know. Yeah. I totally get it. It's just that, you know, ever since losing the Minnesota North Stars to Dallas, I'm just like, I've had it something stuck in my craw box.
I hear you. It's a pleasure catching up with you as always. And of course, I'm going to continue with my follow-up of PA announcer. I got Mark Richards, the Milwaukee Brewers PA announcer, joining us at 9:30 this morning. So
awesome.
Just get tuned in for that. Anyway, we'll be back with more here on the... I'm looking for Ian, you know, my producer, to make sure that... he's cluing me in that...
Making sure you get out of here in the next 20 seconds?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, because I'm old and I'm not... I haven't been doing this for a few years.
Okay, take care, Bob.
Take care, Pat. We'll be back with more coming up. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. My name is Bob. Look, we are sitting in for Chad Holmes, who's on vacation this week, and coming up later in the program, just to kind of clue you in on some of the things that are happening. North Star knows coming your way at a little past 8:30 this morning, and coming up also later in the program at about 9:35 this morning, it's our continuation of the little feature we've been doing all week long, saying, you hear their voice, but who are they? Well, we've had interviews with public address announcers from some of the big arenas and that throughout the state. Bill Jarts from the Green Bay Packers joined us on Tuesday for a discussion. Yesterday, Mike Mankey, who handles the public address announcing for the Wisconsin Badger football team and also men's basketball team over at the Kohl Center, and of course Camp Randall for football. And coming up this morning at about 9:35, Mark Richards. He is the Milwaukee Brewers public address announcer at AmFam Field. He had a great day yesterday, had a great series with Texas. And so we're going to be chatting with him about, you know, how he got into that position and some of the little behind-the-scenes things that you just didn't know about. That's coming up later on in the program. But right now, it's time for us to get an update weather-wise. And we do that, of course, per usual with our meteorological expert extraordinaire, Brittany Merlo. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. How's that? You know, meteorological, you know.
It's fancy.
I know. You know, I just don't want to call you a meteorologist. There's got to be a few more adjectives. And
hey, it's better than the weather girl. I get that all the time.
Oh, I bet you that the alarm clock goes off, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Yeah, I'm the weather. What? I hear you. I hear you. Mm-hmm. But well, I'll tell you, it was so comfortable last night. I was visiting with my neighbor out on my deck last night. That breeze was just so pleasant. Temperatures were so pleasant. And you know, with the breeze, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like the mosquitoes have a harder time getting a beat on you.
Oh, absolutely. That's my favorite part. If the breeze isn't there, you got to have a fan going.
Yep.
Keep them away.
Yep.
Evil little bugs, they are, I tell you. But that breeze was so refreshing. I had the windows open.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a couple of things that I didn't realize because I've had the AC on for a little while. Mm. I had napkins just blown across my office. I came back and I'm like, what happened over here?
Yeah. Whoops. Well, best laid plans, you know. Well, you expect a breeze, but you don't expect a gust. And,
yep.
Yeah, I remember a weather incident at my house several years ago where we had, you know, severe weather coming in the area. And I was, you know, we heard the tornado sirens going off. And so I was, you know, and I was heading to the bedroom to close the windows. And as I was getting in, as I stepped into the bedroom to close the windows, a gust came through there, really high winds, and it actually put me right up against the wall.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And I'm like, vicious. And I'm going, whoa. So I said, the heck with the wind, closing the window, and went down to the lower level and rode it out. But that's when you start realizing you got a storm out there. So.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's kind of fun though. I'm a weird one. I like to feel the power of nature if I can, if it's safe.
Right. Yeah. You'd like to be around after it.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Right before and right after.
Yeah. Well, we got nothing like that coming our way this couple of days, do we?
No, we don't actually. No. Today is going to be beautiful. That breeze is gone though. Winds are going to be barely moving. We've got a high pressure overhead. It's kind of just keeping our skies partly sunny today, very calm day, no rain in the forecast. In fact, we'll see some rain starting to push into the western parts of the state overnight tonight. And then by tomorrow morning, we are going to be waking up to some scattered showers, maybe some rumbles of thunder tomorrow afternoon and evening. And rain totals do kind of look anywhere from a half an inch to an inch and a half. Looks like the heaviest totals stay into west central portions of the state. I think here for us, we could get near an inch, though. And the Wisconsin River is already above its banks. So flood warning in effect. Tomorrow's not going to help it at all. So it'll probably take a day for that to crest again. So I would say Saturday, if you live by the river, keep an eye on that. I know you do, right?
Yes, I do.
You're on the good side.
Yeah, I'm in a little bit safer side, but I understand where you're coming from because if they do spill over, then it means that I kind of stuck there. The roads could be covered going south and going north could be blocked also. So,
yeah, water, the power of water.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Iowa? So they're in so much flooding that the manure is mixing with the floodwaters, and now they're worried about their drinking water because of that. So,
I worked down in Sioux Falls. South Dakota, and they had some flood problems, you know, up in that part of the world where my wife and myself lived, and in fact they have a racetrack, the Huset Speedway, that's, you know, a couple miles south of where we lived, and they had a big weekend of racing, and they had people stuck because they're campers and stuff that they set up, and the floodwaters came in so fast that they just got stuck out there, and they couldn't get their vehicles and campers and all that kind of stuff out of there. So,
oh my gosh. So, well, you know, at least it's just things. Mm-hmm. All the people got out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it's water. It's nice that we're talking about something a little bit more, a little bit more enjoyable for the next few days. And, you know, that's kind of cool about it. And again, I don't mind having those temperatures falling into the 50s overnight. That's refreshing.
It sure is. It's nice to shut the AC off, save some energy, save some money. I mean, highs today, about 73 degrees. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, 71. The warmest day we've got coming up Saturday, we'll hit about 77. After that, we fall to the low 70s for Monday, Tuesday, In fact, we don't even see 80 degrees again until Wednesday. So this time or around next week, yeah.
Well, I think that people will appreciate that. That's all right. It's nice that we can give them some good news here to wrap things up, okay?
Finally.
Yeah. All right, Brittany, we'll check back with you tomorrow and enjoy your day, okay?
Bye, Brittany. Sounds
good. You too.
Yeah. And right now, temperature-wise, it's just very, very pleasant. I have no complaints.
Actually, Bob, we have a comment from one of our viewers on the live stream.
Oh.
It's from our good friend Rob Lehman over in Tigerton.
Yes.
And he says, good morning from Tigerton. It is partly cloudy with a 60 degrees.
Yep.
So pretty comfortable.
Yep.
He said he's a big fan of all these Civic radio shows. He says they're awesome and informative. And he's busy with his lawn mowing jobs. He has multiple jobs. But he says the weather is absolutely beautiful.
Perfect to do it now.
Thank you, Rob, for saying that comment in. And hope the lawn mowing continues to go well for you.
Well, all right. Sounds good there out there. And then 60 degrees here in Wausau also. So very comfortable out there. Enjoy it if you can. And coming up, we've got North Star Knows. And we'll be checking with the gang from North Star. And coming up here in the next part of the program. And we hope you hang around here.
Oh, yeah.
At Bill's Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 98.9 FM, 1230 AM. And, of course, you can listen to us online or also via video. So a lot of ways to hear and see our deal. So stick around. More coming up right here. We continue now on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Bob Look here, in for the vacationing Chad Holmes. And what we do here on this radio station is something called North Star Knows. And this is brought to you by the good folks at North Star Restoration Service. And Jay Cricks is joining us here this morning. First of all, Jay, nice meeting you and nice having you on board.
Nice meeting you as well, Bob. And glad to be here once again.
Yeah, again, I'm sitting in, so we're learning each other.
That's okay.
Little small talk, and that
we'll get through it.
Yeah, we'll get through it. You guys have been around, long enough. You've developed that experience, and that's key.
We're coming up on 20 years here in Wausau.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. And the people around here, you can't beat the people around here.
Central Wisconsin's amazing. It's a great place to, raise a family, grow a business, and just be part of. It's a wonderful community. We love it here.
Yeah, well, I first came here in the late 80s, 1988 was that my first, but then as radio has a tendency of doing, it moves you around.
Sure does.
So I had some time away, but I came back in 1998. Been here ever since, and this is just a wonderful area. Now, what do we have coming up on today's show?
We do, So we're going to talk about an event that we're putting on here this Friday, so only a few days away. But we partner with the Red Cross here in Central Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we do a lot of things, but the Red Cross is one of our I guess we'll call it nonprofit groups that we like to make sure that we help out. And I don't know if you know this, but some of our listeners might be aware, but we are in a national blood shortage right now. Ever since COVID hit, in-person, get-togethers and gatherings, really decreased. And
right
now they're trying to build those in-person events back up. And one of those in-person things that are taking a big hit are blood drives. Yeah. So we've committed ourselves to hosting 3 blood drives a year because you can donate about every 16 weeks.
Right.
So you can slice that up pretty good in 52 weeks. We can have about 3 of them. So we get a good following of donors that, come, about every 16 and a half weeks. We've got a good following of people that come in. And we started doing these back in October of 2021. Okay. And up to today, we've collected 234 units of blood, life-saving units of blood that have been dispersed out throughout central Wisconsin. So on Friday, that's this coming Friday, June tomorrow. 28th,
yep.
Right at 4900 Stewart Ave in Wausau, we are hosting our third annual annual summer blood drive and cookout. So our first one, we didn't really have a cookout attached to it. And we were thinking, you know what? We got all these people gathering today. We got all these volunteers here. Let's bust out the grill. Let's get a tent out there and let's grill some food up for some people.
And is there anything more Wisconsin-ish
right?
than getting out the grill and making some delicious food outdoors?
Exactly. Outdoors. So it looks like the weather's going to be really good for us. And even if it wasn't good weather, we've got another area where we've got an overhang where we could still grill out. But yeah, the blood drive runs from 10 to 3.
All right.
Right on Stewart Ave. I know there's some appointment spaces still available. I think we've got about 30 or 35 people already signed up, and we've got plenty of room. We can run that up to 50 or 60 if needed. And yeah, so the blood drive's from 10 to 3. The cookout's going to be from 11 to 1. Mm-hmm. And if you donate blood, we're going to give you a free plate of food.
Now you're saying, you know, can people like, you know, schedule?
You can.
You know, I was just kind of, you know, because I'm sure somebody's saying, it sounds like a good idea, but, you know, I can't really dedicate a whole middle of the day.
Sure. You know. So what you do is you go to redcrossblood.org. That's redcrossblood.org. Mm-hmm. And that's going to bring you to, obviously, their website, their webpage. And you're going to type in a zip code. And you'll type in 54403, 54401. You know, it'll say blood drive near me. And then you'll see, oop, North Star will pop up.
Yep.
It'll have our address. You can click on that, and then you can select a time that that works for you.
An opening.
You find an
opening. It's like golfers that's getting a tee time.
You get your tee up time. Right, yeah. Exactly. So you sign up. It doesn't take very long. There's a couple different types of blood donations that a person could make, just regular old blood. And that usually takes between 15 and 20 minutes. And then they have something called a power red, where they take your blood out, they run it through we'll call it like a centrifuge machine, mm-hmm. and then they put it back in you. They pull the plasma out of it.
Okay.
If you're a type O negative blood type, I would urge you to do a power red. Only 7% of the population has type O negative blood, mm-hmm. but literally everyone, you know, can use type O negative blood. So yeah,
that says sometimes mm-hmm. people don't realize that, you know, there's some blood types that are scarce for a reason, but yep. there's ones that, you know, can work with any.
Yeah,
you know,
they are.
So
I happen to be type O negative, so I'm a regular donor.
Oh, you're yes, an all-star. In other words,
I try to be, you know, you got to practice what you preach, right?
So, yeah.
I get down there and I donate every time that I can. So not only are we collecting that in need life-saving plasma and blood for our fellow Wisconsinites, mm-hmm. we also support another, I guess, aspect of the Red Cross, which is their SAF, which is Service to Armed Forces.
Oh.
And what SAF does is they look and they reach out to our homeless and in need veteran families right here in central Wisconsin. Mm. And they do an event called a stand down event. And what we'll do is we'll find these families and we collect warm weather clothing, winter weather clothing for them. So jackets, boots, hats, mittens, gloves, all that good stuff. But then we also would collect, you know, new socks, undergarments, right. stuff like that. So not only is it a blood drive, if you're a little skittish and you don't want to donate blood, maybe just swing down and donate a coat or a hat or something that's been gently used that can get repurposed.
And again, the time to be looking for warmer clothes and that is not when winter is here.
No, right now is the time.
Now is the time.
Especially when we're doing some, you know, spring, summer cleaning. Right. Get those closets cleaned out.
Oh,
get
yeah.
that stuff pulled out of there. You know, put it in a box and bring it to our facility. We've got full laundry facilities at North Star. So we'll run them through our back laundry area. We'll get them all nice and clean. We'll box them up, and then we'll drop everything off at the Red Cross. We'll be collecting for a few weeks, so you don't have to necessarily just bring it this Friday.
Right.
We'll have the clothing drive going through the month of July.
Okay.
So feel free to either stop down, donate blood, grab a bite to eat, jot down our address, and when you've got some time, either hopefully before this weekend or maybe perhaps the 4th of July break, come on down, drop some stuff off. We'll have a box out front, and we'll be collecting those items.
All right. Again, you're listening to North Star Knows. Jay Cricks from the North Star Restoration Service. This is what being a part of community is all about.
Exactly. You know, we always say, you know, if you want to be part of the community, be part of the community, you know. And one of the things is we want you to know us before you need us.
Right.
You know, so how better to get to know somebody than to stop down at their facility, have a bite to eat, do a little facility tour, have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to meet somebody, you know, at 2 a.m. after a tree fell on their home.
Yeah.
You know, we'd love for you to have heard about us, had some interaction with us prior to or leading up to it. That builds trust. You kind of know what you're getting then. And it's not, it kind of, you know, it's less of a surprise when you've already met a contractor or a company that you have to deal with in the future.
All right. So again, you know, check that out. That's tomorrow for the blood drive and the cookout.
Yes,
and all that.
Yep.
So, The weather's
looking awesome. Yeah, 10 to 3 for the blood drive, 11 to 1 for the cookout. But we're there all day, and feel free to stop in and, you know, donate in some way, shape, or form.
All right. Well, I think that there's a lot of folks out there who are, as you said before, a lot of spring cleaning going on. In fact, my neighbor next door was just like, you know, having a whole bunch of stuff out on that they're going to be, you know, tossing out. And I was like, time of year, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And a lot of rummage sales this time of year, yes. too. So if you just had a rummage sale and maybe some of your winter weather clothing did not sell at the rummage sale for a dollar or whatever you had marked right. for, box it up and bring it by.
And I know this may be kind of nitpicking in that, but, you know, if you do donate clothing mm-hmm. in that, you can write it off on
sure.
your taxes. It's a donation.
Sure.
It's a free, realistic value.
Sure.
You know, not new, you know, for just a jacket.
Get with your accountant.
Yeah.
I'm not a tax yeah. professional, but I know that they do have some allowances like that out there.
Right. I mean, I'm not trying to make this, you know, you know, that kind of a, we're so wealthy, we could do stuff like that. But really, I mean, you know, you're making a donation. You should get a benefit for it. You know, even it may be trite, but what the heck?
That's right. You know, I feel also not only that small benefit, but you also get the benefit of knowing that you help somebody out in their time.
That's more important.
Yeah.
That is more exactly. important. Well, the cookout that you got going there tomorrow, but you guys do this, you know, not just in this particular instance, but year round.
We do. So this is, we do them 3 times a year. We've got one in the spring,
right.
one in the summer. And then we have a really fun one. Right before Halloween, we do a blood drive also where it's kind of like a costume contest. We serve spaghetti and meatballs, and it's a good time also. But one thing we didn't mention up to yeah. this point is for anybody that does stop by and donate, you're going to get a $50 North Star gift card, okay. and you're going to get an entry into a drawing for a $150 gift certificate that can be used towards any of our North Star services. So it is a charity event. We are trying to gather up some in-need plasma, gather up some clothing. But we also want to make sure that there's a little incentive for individuals to, you know, take that extra time out of their day, and there's a little bit of something in it for them as well.
Good. I wanted to bring back to one of the points that you made before, and that's supporting the veterans and military families being a part mm-hmm. of that. That kind of registered in my head a little bit
yeah.
more.
Sure.
Not that anything else is not, you know, important, but when anything to deal with veterans or family of veterans, that always, to me, is one of these things I kind of stop and listen a lot closer.
Sure. So the Service to Armed Forces Outreach Program is, like I mentioned earlier, is a branch or a kind of a division of the Red Cross. And they do a really good job of getting out there and finding these in-need veterans. And not just the veteran themselves, but maybe the veteran is deployed. Hmm. And we have an in-need veteran family.
Yeah. So, the family's back yep. there, you know, holding down the fort, but... Yep.
But they still have needs.
Bills have to be paid.
You know, life happens. Yeah. You never know the curveball that's coming at you.
Dentist appointments.
Yep, every little bit counts. Yeah. So if we can help those. So it's not just men's winter weather clothing. This is a clothing drive for, you know, women, mm-hmm. children. You know, so we take everything. So if you've got some children's coats, female coats, you know, women's type apparel, bring it on down. We'll make sure that it gets in the right hands and to the right people.
Well, again, it's a conduit, you know, to the people in need and the people who are there who are willing to give you got to connect them sometimes, because a lot of times people want to do the right thing, but they don't know how to get there.
Sure. And this is a little bit different than donating to your Goodwill or your St. Vincent de Paul, which is great.
Yeah.
That's all good. You know, those things get in. Those help with jobs. Those help with that stuff. That stuff gets resold. But this is purely all volunteer driven. Nothing's being resold. We do, like I had mentioned earlier, we do ensure that everything does get properly laundered and buttoned up really good before it gets delivered. So we just want to make sure that we're doing our part. You know, we really love being part of Central Wisconsin, and our company has really grown considerably over the last, you know, decade and a half, two decades coming up. And we feel we just, you know, doing our part, and you need to give back. So this is just one of those little ways that we like to give back. We've got this really cool community room that, you know, it's about 2,000 square feet, and we open it up and we bring the Red Cross in, and they bring their tables in, and they do their whole thing. And it's just providing a space to you know, to hold this activity, and then they take it from there. They disperse the blood, they disperse the clothing. We're just a conduit, kind of like that word that you use. There's conduit. So we're connecting A to B, and then they handle the rest of it from there.
Well, that's the kind of community involvement that you know, I feel these true successful, you know, businesses are the ones that do that. They take that extra step. They don't just sit back and, oh, they'll take care of themselves.
Right.
And good work. And coming, we're going to take a little break here in just a bit. But what I'm going, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about with these floods and situations around our area. And I saw some news coverage and stories about kind of these fly-by nights, just cold calling people, or either putting something in their mailbox or hanging on their door. Here, you know, we can handle this, and oh, we'll save you so much money.
We'll certainly give them some information on what to look for.
Yeah, we'll give you those tips and that kind of stuff coming up after we take a break here. Again, you're listening to North Star Knows. Jay Cricks from North Star and myself, Bob Look, will be back here shortly right here at Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, here on a Thursday morning, and we're into North Star Knows, and Jay Cricks from North Star Restoration Service with us here on the program. And well, Jay, Mother Nature, of course, throws us those curveballs.
It does.
We've had a couple of heavy-duty rains, and where last year we were dry as a bone, this year flooding is happening in some of the areas and in our listening area also. And I heard a news story, in fact a couple of them, talking about some of these people who just kind of come out of nowhere, where they, you know, the something is either hung on your door at home, or there's a cold call and say, hey, if you're having any problems, you know, just give us a call, we can save you x number of dollars because we blah, blah, you know. And but who are they?
Right, exactly. So when you, let's just back it up a little bit. So if your home is affected by a, you know, we'll talk about the recent storms that came through.
Right.
So we had a very mild winter, very mild spring, and we thought we were going to get into summer without any major flooding. But wouldn't you know, Mother Nature threw us a curveball the last couple of weeks, and it's been nonstop rain. You know, the earth is completely saturated with water, and you know, next thing you know, we've got a high winds and another storm that blow through, and that really did some damage right here in central Wisconsin, the Northwoods, all around us. Even up till today, we're still fielding phone calls for people that are just discovering the damage. They haven't been down their basement all week, or maybe they just made it up to the cottage, and they're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? So basically, you've got the right to choose. Wisconsin insurance law allows you to choose the contractor of your choice. So your insurance company, they can make some recommendations and say, hey, we've worked with this company, and this company. And typically, we're one of those companies that they may recommend. What they cannot do is say you have to work with this company, or they use scare tactics sometimes. Or, well, if you don't use this company, we might not be able to, you know, guarantee the work. And that right there, who's ever guaranteeing the work should be the contractor guaranteeing the work. The insurance company typically isn't going to guarantee anybody's work. So you've got the right to choose. All right. And there's some advantages of the reason why that law is a law. You've got the right to choose the contractor of your choice because you may have a very reputable contractor that that can do the work and you want to use them. And why wouldn't you? They might be a family friend.
Right.
They
might somebody be you're familiar with. Somebody
they may have been the builder that built the house. Nobody knows the home builder than that person. So you've got the right to choose. You don't have to use the, we'll say, the pet vendor of the insurance company. It's hard to represent two entities fairly. It's kind of like being a real estate agent. You can't represent the buyer and the seller, you know, at the same time. It's very hard to represent both entities. So it's same thing with a contractor that's being hired directly by the insurance company. So you want to make sure that the company that you have, it has your best interest involved, you know, in at their forefront, and you trust them. So there's some things to look for in if you have never worked with a restoration company before or a contractor, you know, before. There's some things you're going to want to look for. You'll have a checklist of, okay, do they have insurance? Are they a member maybe of the local builders association? Right. Do they have any designations? You know, what is their, you know, so for restoration companies, are they a certified firm? Are they a member of the IICRC? Write that down, folks. The IICRC.
IICRC.
Yep, okay. That is the standard. So when you've got a flood or a fire in your home, there's a standard that restoration companies need to follow. And you would want to look for somebody that may be a certified firm that they follow the standard. And also, if you're hiring somebody to, maybe you had a tree fall on your house, then you hire the arborist to remove the tree. Now you've got to get somebody over to do the roofing, and maybe you need some sheeting replaced. You know, so you're going to hire a remodeling contractor. Are they a member of NARI, which is the National Association of Remodelers? And, you know, you want to look for these different designations because typically the companies that are educating themselves and they're typically good companies to work for are the ones that have some of these designations to look for. Not saying that contractors that don't have these can't do good work, but there's hallmarks for your companies that are...
There's a trail.
Yes, there is. So just a few things to look for. Now, if you are filing an insurance claim, an insurance adjuster typically will become involved, and they're going to come over. They're going to look at the scope of work that needs to be done on the home, and you know they're going to maybe make a recommendation on who to hire. You might have somebody. Everybody's going to come to terms, and then the work begins. So a lot of times it goes perfectly smooth. Mm-hmm. It's a great experience. There's a lot of really wonderful insurance carriers and insurance adjusters out there, but sometimes you get maybe a new guy. Maybe an adjuster that is set in his ways. Maybe you just feel like you're not getting a fair shake. And what do you do in that instance? You feel like, well, I have to do what I'm being told. Maybe the contractor that you're working with is agreeing. And they're like, well, I just, as the homeowner, you think, well, maybe this just isn't right. So what are your options? Who do you go to? What do you do? Well, that might be a time where you have to call in an independent adjuster or a public adjuster is what they go by.
A second opinion.
A second opinion. Right. And then they come in and they'll assess the damage. They can write a report and then they can present that to you. And then you could share that with your insurance company. So there's a dance, but a lot of times they're completely not needed. A lot of times, but you do have recourse if you feel like you're not being treated fairly.
But you're protecting your own interest. Mm-hmm. That's the main thing. Yep. It's not like you need to use it,
right.
But if there's a doubt in your head, it doesn't hurt. You know, like I said, just like seeing a doctor. Doctor says, "Well, we got to do the surgery." Well, maybe like a second opinion, and you know, go from there.
Yep, and we do live here in central Wisconsin. We have a lot of very DIY, roll up your sleeves. I'm not going to wait for help to come. I'm going to jump out there and I'm going to start taking care of it, which is fine. Mm-hmm. You can get going on some things, but you're going to want to make sure that you're documenting what you're doing. You want to take a lot of pictures. You want to write down your thoughts.
How it was, you know.
Yep. Right after the storm.
Right after the
flood. Yep.
And then don't give them a different picture. And wait a minute. You said that this tree was here and it's not. And
so if you do want to jump in and start to get started on the cleanup, make sure you're just documenting everything really well, taking lots of pictures, lots of notes. Make sure you're informing your insurance company right away. One thing that people don't always realize is when big storms roll through, our more popular insurance companies, they only have so many adjusters.
Right.
Okay. So if you've got a very popular insurance company, it might be a minute, a day, a two, a week, maybe longer before an insurance adjuster can get to your home. So they'll probably give you the green light to get somebody over there, but make sure you're documenting it, because when they do get there, it might be like, well, how do I know? Because they need to see it too. So just make sure you're safeguarding yourself, taking lots of pictures, writing lots of notes, contracting a reputable contractor to come in, and that's it.
Your phone number real quick.
So us here at North Star, you can always go to our website. That's NorthStarRestorationServices.com, or you can reach us at 715-302-0529.
All right. Well, Jay, it was nice meeting you. And
it was very nice meeting you today, Buzz. Well, Bob.
Hey, I'll tell you what. This is great information we look forward to. And also that get-together tomorrow, the blood drive.
Absolutely. Stop by. The weather's going to be beautiful. We'll have burgers and brats on the grill. If you donate either blood or clothes, I'll make you a plate of food.
All right. Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Jay Cricks from North.